Dan, can you put that last slide back up? No, the last slide, that one. Is anybody beside me freaked out by those hands? I know the song is about worship that they put in, but I don't know about that. We only got three fingers on one side, and I don't really understand what's going on with the hand on the other side. And anyway, every time they put that slide up, that's weird. Thanks, Dan. One thing we missed this morning that was not announced, and I want to announce this, is Iron Sharpen Iron Conference for Women. We've been going for many years. The men have been going to the Iron Sharpens Iron Conference for Men, and we get a lot out of it. It's a great training. It's a great time of fellowship. So ladies, there's information on this out there. There's a sign-up sheet. It'd be wonderful if a group of you decided to go down. It's being held down in Davenport. And a good day, good message, good time together. So you might take a look, think about it, pray about it, and get signed up. It's Saturday, October 11th, so I'll be planning on that. It is good to see everyone today. Been a busy week, and I'm sure you've had the same thing, but it's so nice to come together in God's house and be here for a time of worship. As we talk today, we're going to be talking about uncertainty. And the question I ask you, are there times in your life when you're uncertain, when you're not sure, when you're not sure about your job, when you're not sure about your relationship, when you're not sure about your future, and really when you're not sure about your relationship with God? So keep that in mind as we go through, and you might be asking yourself, what am I uncertain of? I was doing some study a couple of weeks ago and devotional reading, and I actually came across something that I know at times I wonder about, and I would guess maybe you do too, and that's how I came up with this idea of uncertainty. That situation that we're not quite sure of. We want to believe in something. We want to believe that something is possible, but we're not quite sure. It may be all spelled out for you. All the directions are there and everything that you need, but you're still just not sure. And what happens is that doubt that you have leads you to unnecessary worry. How many of you worry? How many of you lie about worrying? Yeah. Worry, it's another word that we don't like. Worry keeps us prisoner. It keeps us locked up in a room of doubt, lack of trust, shaken confidence, and a fear of the things that we're not sure of. As a Christian, worry keeps us from truly being the powerful presence and being in the powerful presence of God. But we worry. And because we worry, we carry extremely heavy burdens on our shoulders and with us. And you can tell people who have a lot of burdens and a lot of worry because the shoulders are just slumped a little bit. And sometimes the head is down. We don't like to worry. Would you agree? But we continue to do it, and we continue to let it control us. And it keeps us from having the life that God wants us to have. Uncertainty and worry, it can weigh a ton. I knew a man several years ago, and this has been, quite a while ago. And the doctors had told his wife, he's on his deathbed, call the family and have the family come in. If they want to see him alive, they need to come now. And so the panicked wife gets on the phone and she starts calling the kids and family members, and they come up to the hospital and they're there to be there to watch him die. She calls me and asks if I would come to the hospital, and I said I certainly will. I was not their pastor, but always willing to do anything I can when I'm asked to do it. I'd known the family for years, I'd known the man for years, and I knew him to be a leader in another church. But as I went to that room, I saw him laying in the bed, and I walked in. I expected to see somebody laying there kind of out of it, maybe drugged up, heavy, so he wouldn't feel pain, so the passing would be smooth, and somebody sitting there struggling for their breath. But when I walked in, he was laying in bed talking to the family. And the doctor had come in, and even though this was going on, the doctor said, it's only a matter of time. By the way, I want you to know something. That's all of us here. Isn't it only a matter of time? We have to face that. There is a fact that we are not immortal. We all face the same thing. That's for another message and for another time. But this man has been told, there's nothing more we can do, and you're gonna die soon. And so I approached the bed and I started talking to him, and the family was just kind of milling around and listening. They weren't really paying too much attention to what was going on, but they were listening to what I was saying to them. And I walked up beside his bed. I said, okay, the doctor says you don't have long left on this earth. And I want you to know that God has a wonderful place for you, that heaven has opened up, and when you leave here, you will stand with him. And I said, do you believe that? Now remember, this man is somebody that's been in the church for probably most of his life. It's somebody that at least I had seen as a leader in the church, and he had been around and was just always there. And I asked him that question, and his response was this, when I said, do you believe that you have eternal life, that you're going to heaven, that God loves you, and he's prepared a place for you? And he looks at me, says, well, I hope so, but I'm not sure. Wow! There's doubt. There's uncertainty. You know, when somebody is laying on their deathbed and they're not supposed to make it till the next day, I don't mess around. I just said, if you want eternal life, if you want to be sure that you have this eternal life, this is what you need to do. He knew it. I didn't tell this man anything that he had not heard any other time of his life. I just shared the truth of Scripture, and I said, this is what the Bible says. This is what eternal life is. Do you believe in the Bible? Yes, I believe in the Bible. Then you can believe in what it says. And when I got done talking with him, I said, I'll tell you what, would you like to just bow and just pray right now and ask Christ to be the Lord of your life and to open the gates of heaven and to welcome you when that moment comes? That your family would see and be comforted and know that hey, Dad's going to heaven? And he said, yeah. We prayed. And he asked Christ into his life. He had done it before, but I don't understand why it didn't connect. But for some reason it didn't, and he wasn't sure. Satan is a master of uncertainty. He wants us to doubt things. He wants us to doubt that the Bible is true. He wants us to doubt that we can have communication with God through prayer. He wants us to doubt that Christ died for us or that Christ even came. He wants us to doubt salvation. He wants us to doubt everything, and he wants us to be uncertain about it. And there have been so many people in my life that I've talked to who have said the same thing. I want to believe. I even had one say, I wish I could believe. But doubt, uncertainty. Well, the man I prayed with, didn't die. He actually got better. They sent him home, and I don't remember how long he lived after that, but he had a fair amount of time left with his family. And at that point in his life, when God finally called him home, he was certain. He was certain. And he has shared with his wife the certainty that he felt. That gave her great peace and great comfort. God doesn't want us to worry about anything. And that really does include death. And you're saying, no, wait a minute, Pastor, how can you tell me that? I've got bills to pay. I've got family arguments going on. I've got a job where the boss is a jerk. I've got coworkers that don't like me and I don't like them. And I've got all of these things and you're telling me not to worry. God doesn't want us to worry. And there's a key to this, and it's hard to get hold of. Because people said, no, that's the human way. It is, but God's way is better. And what we're talking about with uncertainty is, how does God change this? What does he want to do? How does he help me to not worry about that test I have coming up in school? That's if I was in school. I'm not. But I used to worry about my tests because I never studied for them. I got by. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything. What a great lesson if we could just learn to live that way. What a great lesson. No anxiety, no stress, no pressure. Nothing then in this world would cause us any concern. Well, the truth is, I believe it's possible. However, it's something that we can't do by ourselves. We need a little help, and we need to be able to trust God. And God promises in his word to give us the power to be, and the word, the way it's written, is to be partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4 reads this way. It says, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. God has given us promises, okay? So that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. In other words, that nature of God that has no worry, that has no stress. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. What a great statement about the promises of God. That he has given us promises so we can be included in what he does through his divine nature. Worry. God doesn't sit up in heaven worried about anything. Matter of fact, it's all worked out. We were talking, I don't remember what class it was this week. I think it was in our AIM class this week. About a thing called the immutability of God. Now, how many other than those that have taken a name class know what immutability means? Thank you, John. I knew your hand was going to go up. And he does know. John knows everything. See, the immutability of God is this. Everything's already been worked out. Everything God is, he has always been. There is no change. There is no mutation that takes place. We live in a world where we change. We're humans, and change is a big part of who we are. But with God, there is no immutability because he is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And because God is the same, and because God doesn't change, there's a constant there that says, we don't have to worry. God's already worked it out. We change. Our life changes. But the God that we trust things to doesn't change. From the beginning of time through all eternity, he will be the same God. His nature will be the same. It doesn't change. And he has allowed us to be a part of that and given us promises that we can be a part of that divine nature. Now, I want to share five promises of God that you can adopt and claim as your own to overcome anxiety and stress and uncertainty about the future. I will say this, my outline for this, a lot of the words are mine, but my outline from this come from a little book that we're reading called Igniting Faith. It's a wonderful book, and I'm enjoying it, but it kind of opened up these little guidelines, and I thought, yeah, that's where I want to be. So just to share credit where credit needs to be shared, I'm not original in these statements, but what I have to say about them is. Ways to deal with uncertainty. The first thing we look at and the first thing we claim in dealing with uncertainty is a simple statement. It says, I can. Now, if you're writing things down, there's going to be five things I'm going to say, and that's all you need to do this morning is write those five down so that you can remember, I can. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do some things. Doesn't say that. I can do the little things. It doesn't say that. It says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Can I do it by myself? No. But with Christ, I can. And with Christ, I can get through any situation. And I have nothing to fear since Christ has already overcome it. He's already been there. He already knows. I have nothing to fear. And it's a promise that I claim on a regular basis as I realize that apart from Christ, here's the truth, I can do nothing. Deidre, congratulations on a great show last week. Deidre, if you've been on Facebook and seen, she was showing horses and jumping horses, and there's some pictures of her going over some jumps and beautiful pictures, and the young lady can ride a horse really, really well, and we're proud of that. I lived on the reservation, as you know, and I had a horse, and I've told this story before, but I've just got to tell it again. This horse was a bonehead. He was rather young. He was kind of what they call green broke, but he was broke to ride. But the thing is, if you didn't ride him on a daily basis, if you let him stable for a week and then you went out to ride him, he would stand perfectly still. You'd put the bridle on, you'd put the saddle on, you'd tighten the saddle, just perfect. And then you would get up on the saddle and he would set into bucking, which seemed like hours. I know it was more like seconds. But it wasn't just crow hopping, which if you've been around horses, you know what crow hopping is. But it wasn't just crow hopping. He bucked. And he would kick his legs out so high that it wrenched my back. Every time. What a wonderful horse. One of the young Indian boys, he was in high school at the time. And we got to be great friends. Ernie came over one day and he says, you know, Pastor, let's go for a ride. I'm like, oh, man, that horse hasn't, and this was, the horse hadn't been ridden for about a month at this point. And I says, oh, okay. So I went out and I got him out. Ernie's got his horse and he's saddling up his horse and I'm saddling up Bonehead. And I just knew what was coming and I was taking my time. I was moving pretty slow. Ernie looked at me and he says, Pastor? Yes, Ernie. Ernie was one of these that always reminds you of things you don't want to be reminded of. He said, do you believe what you teach us at youth group? I said, I do. I wouldn't teach it if I didn't believe it. Well, he said, in youth group, you told us that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. I said, yes, I did. Then get on the horse. I did. Anybody want to guess what happened? Pastor, get back on the horse. I did, and finally he quit bucking, and we had a nice ride, but sometimes these things come around. Listen, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That is so real in our lives if we will claim that promise of God. Christ is the one that gives me strength to live a victorious life for Him. His promise is that you will have the strength when you need it. And maybe it's strength to witness to a friend or to serve in a position in the church. Maybe it is to have the strength to approach a stranger and speak Christ into their life. For some, it may be the strength simply to get out of bed in the morning and to be able to move through the day. The strength is definitely there to help dispel anxiety and stress and to get rid of all uncertainty. So first we say, I can. Next, we understand there is a way. Are you writing these down? I can, and there is a way. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has taken you that is common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation He will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Again, what a great promise. And God is saying that no matter what you face, no matter how hard you may think it is, you're not going to be defeated. That He's not going to allow you to be given more than you can endure. Now, I talk to people a lot about this, and for some reason this passage scares people. I don't want any more. I've had enough. It's up to here. You have dumped this bucket load on me. My shoulders are getting tired, and I just keep getting beat down. Sometimes it's to the point of tears, and I don't feel like I can go on. And God, I guess I just want to say to you, don't trust me so much, because I don't know that I can carry the load anymore. But there's a promise. And His promise is that we're not going to be given more than we can handle. The last part of that statement, with temptation or trial, He gives victory. He, God Himself, will provide a way of escape so that we can stand up to the challenge. He's not going to leave you hanging out there. He's in it with you, beside you all the way, and after every challenge that you allow Him to lead you through, guess what? You gain strength for the next one. There's a way for every person to either get out of a tough time or to get into God's purpose. He provides the way. And as you grow in Him, challenges keep coming, but each one gets a little bit easier to deal with because He's taking you through it. Remember, I talk a lot about mountains and valleys, and sometimes we feel like we're down here in the valley, and this is where everything seems like it's caved in on us. Now, actually, valleys are beautiful places, and sometimes we'll talk about that, but this is a dark valley. And sometimes we're down in this valley and we have these problems and this distress going on. Well, there's only one place to go when you're in the valley, and that's to go up. And when you start going up, you know what? You see the sun. And when you see the sun, things begin to open up and you begin to see the whole picture and see things better because God is with you. I can do all things through Christ. There's a way of escape from every circumstance. And the next way to escape uncertainty, this is number 3, write it down, is to know that I've prayed. know that I've prayed. James 5, 16 and 17 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it didn't rain on the earth. Our prayers are powerful, and they're clearly heard by God. You know, the problem we have is that sometimes we pray these weak and wimpy prayers that you don't believe yourself can be fixed. Oh, God, if it's okay, if you don't mind, would you help me with this? I mean, only if it's okay. And God looks down and says, no. Pray believing. Nothing, there is nothing in your life that you can't take to God. And by the way, those of you who think you're carrying great secrets, I've got a secret for you. He already knows it. He already knows it. That you think you're holding back, God already knows. Why? Because that's a part of the very nature of who God is. He is omniscient. That means he is all-knowing, and he knows what you've done in the past. He knows what you're doing today. He knows. He knows. So when you come to him, you may as well be bold. When you come to him, you approach him with respect. You approach him with love. You're approaching the throne of grace, and God is there, and he's waiting to hear from you. As you come to him and boldly lift up whatever it is you need to lift up. God, listen, there's something going on in my life. I can't handle it. I can't deal with it. I don't know how to handle it. I need to give this to you, and I need to back off and let you deal with it, and I need to leave it here with you. Lord, would you give me the strength to do that? Oh, yeah, I got this. We leave it with him. God wants us to do that. He wants those burdens to be brought to him. But when we come to God, we come and we pray. And there's a very important word. We pray believing. Believing. If you don't believe God can take care of it, don't bother praying it. Oh, man. If you don't believe God can deal with it, then why lift it up to him? But there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that God can't take care of. And he looks at your life and he knows what you need and how to handle it and how to deal with it. Pray with courage and complete belief that God can and will answer your prayers. Prayers are a powerful thing, and you will be different because you pray. A few years ago, there was a lady in the church here, and she had been diagnosed with breast cancer. Terrible, terrible thing. Her family was very distraught. Her friends were distraught. She had gone through this whole process of biopsy and testing and all of these kind of things, and the doctor said, you know, we just really need to go in and we need to do surgery and we need to, at least in this case, remove the lumps that are there, or the mass, I think is the word he used. As a church, we'd been praying for her, been praying for God's healing. The day of the surgery, I went up to the hospital, I was there with her, and before she went back for surgery, her husband and some other friends that were there gathered around. And we prayed for it. And the prayer was real simple. I said, God, you have the ability to totally take this away. You have the ability to heal. And if it's your desire, just heal this woman. And I said, God, if it's your desire that she would be healed through the doctor's scalpel, then guide his hand. Be with the nurses and those who care for her and give her comfort. And we prayed this prayer. And they said, okay, it's time to go. And so they took her, they rolled her back into surgery. I went with the family room into the waiting room, or with the family into the waiting room, and we sat down. And just a few minutes after we got set down, it couldn't have been 10 minutes. We're looking out the door. If you've been up to the waiting room, surgery waiting room in Freeport, you know you can see all the beds that go up and down outside there. And we're looking out, and here her bed is being rolled back down, and she's in it. It's only been 10 minutes. What's wrong? Oh, what is wrong? And we were so concerned. So everybody's up and we're out and we go down the room and they say, we'll let you in the room in just a minute. And we still don't know what's going on. And we walk in and she's laying there. She's got tears in her eyes. And I'm, oh, what happened? She said, well, they were preparing me for surgery and the doctor wanted to, make sure of the lumps and where they were and might mark them and this kind of thing. And he couldn't find them. And she said, they did more x-rays and they were gone. They're not there. And God had healed her. Thank you. God had healed her. And the tears weren't tears of sorrow. There were tears of joy. Here's what I got, though, as I talked to her and her husband. I just can't believe it. Wait a minute, if you can't believe it, why'd you pray it? Something's mixed up here. And she has never had any kind of reoccurrence since that time. God has the ability to heal. Sometimes we don't have the ability or the willingness to trust. Folks, we can pray anything. Don't forget. Do not forget and never give up on prayer. You know what? You may be only one prayer away from a miracle. Just one prayer away. Never give up. My father, and I've shared this again, my mother prayed for my father for 14 years. Maybe, well, it was longer than that, but that I was alive. She prayed for him for 14 years that he would quit drinking. And literally went through all kinds of terrible things prior to that. But after 14 years with her praying, my father quit drinking, and he came to Christ. And you know what? Home was different after that. It wasn't the same. I can. There is a way. I've prayed. Then number four, God will finish what he started. Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Be confident in Christ's finishing power. What he begins, he finishes. And God began a work in you, folks, the day you were born. Scripture says, I knew you when I formed you in your mother's womb. He has known you from day one, and he has been with you. You just didn't know it. He's been molding and shaping you and wanting to form you in his image from the very beginning of time. And a lot of people miss this because they don't want to believe in him. To all who have received Christ, they know that they're being changed for the better. And again, with those things that we are uncertain about, God's shaping us. He's changing us. He's helping us. And every time we overcome life's challenges, we draw closer to God and we learn to trust him more. He'll complete his work in you. The thing is, we're a constant work in progress, and he kind of gets us shaped one way, and we need something else to happen. We don't achieve actually perfection this side of heaven. I want you to know that. For your entire life, God is going to be shaping and molding and forming and helping you to be closer to Him and to be in His image. It's a constant work. Trust that He will complete what He started. I can. There is a way. I've prayed, and God will finish what He started. And now one last promise for today as a way of overcoming uncertainty and doubt or anxiety. It'll be okay. That's it. It will be okay. Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose. All things work for good in my life if I focus on two things. One is God's call for me. What does God want to do with my life? How can I follow Him and do all the things that He's called me to do? What is it you want, Lord? In the Old Testament, we can read about God calling Moses. Moses knew God was calling, and I've always loved his answer. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. He just, in those wonderful three little words, here I am, Lord. Somebody's supposed to say, Pastor, that's four. You guys awake? It's in my notes. I underlined that. No mathematicians here. Here I am, Lord. And this is what the response was. Moses. And we always have to put a deep voice with, you know, whenever it's God talking. I don't know why. We just do. Moses. There we go. Here I am, Lord. And He calls us the same way. And He says, I have something for you. Dennis, yes. What is it you want me to do? Here I am, Lord. You make yourself available. That's all we need to do when God calls. And realize what you call me to do, Lord, I will do. Where you lead me, I will follow. I made that statement one time. And I was living in Mount Carroll, Illinois, and it landed me on the Navajo Indian Reservation in New Mexico. All I said is, here I am, Lord. He says, you're going to the desert. Wait a minute, God, you don't understand. I don't like wind. I don't like sun. I don't like sand. And I don't like dry. You're going to the desert. Donna, her simple comment was, as long as I never see a tarantula, I'm okay. You're going to the desert. Well, I got wind and heat and sand and all of that other kind of stuff, and guess what? Dana walks outside the door of the house one day, and there's this big old tarantula crawling across the ground. I got pictures. Baseball bat. Here's my life, Lord. And I know that you want me to be one of your children. And I know that you want me to do things with my life that are pleasing to you. And here I am. I'm willing, whatever it is. The second part of that. The second part, the first is recognizing and calling and saying, here I am, Lord. The second part of that, the second thing you need to do is to love Jesus Christ as the first in your life. God will never settle. He will never settle for second best in your life. Why should He? He's the Creator. He made you. He loves you. He's poured everything into you. He sent His Son to die for you. And if there's any other thing that is first in your life, those are called idols. Oh no, I don't have any idols. Anything you put before God, that's an idol. He wants to be first in your life. And He has loved you so much. He's loved you so much that He just asked to be in that position. You know what? If we follow those two things that I just mentioned there, God's and claim God's promises of all things work together for good, they do. So here it is. I can. There is a way. I've prayed. God will finish what He started. And it'll be okay. Five little things that can change your future and how you go through life. You want to wake up tomorrow and really feel good? Claim these promises tonight. Before you go to sleep, I hope you've been writing down notes. And I don't know when Dan's going to have this on the website, but when's it going to be on there, Dan? I want it an hour after the service is over. Okay, all right. We'll give you an hour 15, all right?
About 3 or 4 hours.
3 or 4 hours. But you know what? If you didn't write it down, go to the website and you can listen to it again. Don't go to sleep. But God can change your life if you only claim these promises. These five little things will help to chase away doubt and stress. And more importantly, these five little things that we've talked about will help take a negative attitude, if you have one, or a whipped attitude. Man, I am just so tired. I am so tired. I've been in the battle so long, and I'm tired. That's negative. And these five little things will help to take and to turn that around, and so that person has a positive attitude. And they start looking at life differently, and they start looking at God differently. And instead of being stressed out and worried and mountains of problems and issues, we find that there's one source and it's God. And we just take it to Him and He's right there with us. So you can choose today to be a negative person, uncertain, unsure, stressed, worried, fatigued, or you can choose today to be a positive individual. You may have walked in this morning with a frown on your face, with your shoulders slumped because of the burdens that you're carrying. You may have walked in today thinking, why am I coming to church? Let me tell you, you're here because God loves you. And you think you're here because you got out of bed and came. No, it's part of God's plan that you should be here today. As part of God's plan that you should hear a message that can uplift you and encourage you and help you to carry on in the coming week. You're here today because God wants to put a smile on your face and say, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. I'm always here and I'm with you, and I want you to have a positive attitude because I am alive in you. Five little things, five little steps that lock them in your head. And then this week, live it. Live it. And put that smile on your face. Because nothing's worth all the frowning. God loves you, folks. Can I say anything more than that? God loves you. And He cares for you. And He wants what is best in your life. So, as we close in prayer, as we're dismissed, you get to make a choice. And the choice is, you can leave here today the same way you came in, with burdens and stress and toil, or you can leave here today being lifted and set free from those things because you give them to God and because you believe. And you know that you can do what you need to do to not be uncertain. No situation in your life is hopeless. No situation is hopeless. How do I know that? I've been through some of it myself. But I know it even more because the Bible tells me so. Would you bow your heads? Gracious Heavenly Father, without you, we can do nothing. With you, there is nothing we can't do. And Father, today I pray for those who are here. I pray that whatever they need in their life, that you would provide, that you'd be there for them, that they would be able to just wrap their arms around you as you wrap your arms around them, that they would be able to go forward from here with hope and with a smile on their face, knowing that the struggles and the battles that they have in life have been taken away because we give it to you. Whatever it is today, Lord, whoever is here, whatever situation they're facing, we don't know them all. But you do. And Father, I just pray that they would surrender those situations to you, that lives would be made complete, that there would be joy, that there would be happiness, there would be that knowledge of God is with us always. And Father, we lift this to you today in Jesus' name. Amen.